Yo, what's going on, guys? We're live right now doing a late night broadcast of Tariq Radio. Glad to have some of y'all tuning in, staying up late so we can make this thing pop off. Let everybody know that we're live right now. Hope everybody's getting their notifications. Be sure to subscribe to the Tariq Radio channel on YouTube. What we're going to do now, family, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back after these messages. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you move a muscle.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Would you like to make six figures or more providing court-mandated classes like anger management, DUI, or shoplifting prevention? If so, go to courtmandatedtraining.com and sign up for the free webinar that will help you get started, even if you have no experience. So if you want to get that bag, if you want to get some money and do it the right way, go to courtmandatedtraining.com to learn more. Again, that's courtmandatedtraining.com.
I want to empower you with some knowledge. Yeah. Read a good book and I got it. By Neo K. Marcellus, I could tell you all about it. The Tower Becoming a Lady or a Gentleman, a Letter series. Yeah. I want the whole world to hear me. These are the principles of self-mastery. You are in control of your own path and your own destiny. I know this for sure. So many things that'll have you questioning. Recognize and deception in. Make sure that you get the book. Once again, I just had to mention it. Yeah. The Tower of Becoming a Lady or a Gentleman. That's right. Of Letter series. Yes, indeed, I highly recommend. Make sure that you buy it. Make sure that you get it. Get it. Written by Neo K. Marcellus. Hey. The Tower Becoming a Lady or a Gentleman. That's right. Of Letter series. Yes, indeed, I highly recommend. Okay. Make sure that you buy it. Make sure that you get it. Get it. Written by Neo K. Marcellus. Hey. Make sure that you get it on Amazon.com today. The Tower Becoming a Lady or a Gentleman of Letter series.
What's up, family? On Code Clothing is the official uniform of the movement that we call Black Empowerment. They've empowered so many people for so long, now it's time for us to make the empowerment the new global trend. On Code is a brand that's exclusive and not for general consumption, you dig? You gotta be codified to even appreciate this thing of ours. So get the fly summer gear at OnCodeClothing.com. Use the discount code HC5 at checkout and save an additional 10% when you purchase two or more items. So go to OnCodeClothing.com. Are you looking for a 100% natural beard product that cleans the skin under your beard and it stimulates growth? Then check out Beard Tree Oil and Herbs, LLC. They promote healthy beards over everything. They offer a full line of products including beard and face wash, balm oil, mist, and detox. So treat yourself to the Beard Tree 3 package, which includes the wash, balm, oil for just $25. For best results, check out the Beard Tree 5 that includes all five products for just $50. So check this out all at BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com. That's BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com, or follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Beard Tree Oils and Herbs.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail, or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I said, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
Yo, what's up, fam? We here. We back. What's going on? Late Night Squad. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Ladies and gentlemen, right here on Tariq Radio. By the way, Hidden Colors 5 is going to be in theaters next week. It's going down next week, y'all. Next Wednesday is going to be the L.A. premiere. Good news for L.A. Now, this week, the L.A. screening, the 7 o'clock showing in Los Angeles, sold out. And this is the big theater. The 7 o'clock showing in L.A. sold out, and that's going to be on Wednesday, the 31st. And people were flooding the theater with phone calls, so the theater is going to have another showing that same night at 10 p.m. So, all my L.A. people, you can come on through, get your tickets, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com and get your tickets for next Wednesday. And you can catch that 10 p.m. showing, ladies and gentlemen. So that's good news because people were really, really upset. Folks wanted to wait till the last minute to get their tickets, but the tickets were gone. So you can get your tickets, ladies and gentlemen, for L.A. And also, all the other cities, you better get your tickets because they're going to be sold out in a few days. It will definitely be sold out before the screening in almost all the cities. So get your tickets now at HiddenColorsFilm.com, ladies and gentlemen. And also, when you go to HiddenColorsFilm.com, you can pre-order the Hidden Colors 5 DVD, and you can pre-order the HC5 full package where you can get all five DVDs of Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. You can pre-order that now at HiddenColorsFilm.com, because when the film is released on DVD on the 12th of August, it's going to be flooded. We're going to be flooded. So you want to get your orders in early so they'll go out first, ladies and gentlemen. But HC5, this thing is going to be the talk of the country next week when it comes out. I promise you that, ladies and gentlemen. So, we got to get into some stuff tonight. A few things we're going to get into. You know, they're doing the Mueller report, so I don't really, you know, that's whatever. That the Mueller report, that's neither here nor there. That doesn't affect us. All we want to know is what our tangibles are. I don't even get involved with all that stuff with them going back and forth with Mueller. They're talking about impeaching Trump. Who cares? I want to know what the tangibles are. I don't care nothing about all this political theater and everybody's pointing the finger at each other. We are going to be focused on our tangibles. Damn all this political theater stuff. Because, see, with all this back and forth going on, people are still focused on certain issues that don't have anything to do with us, like this immigration. People are still focused on those immigration, and they're prioritizing these immigration issues. And another thing about that immigration thing, and I'm glad black folks are not falling for that. I'm glad that black people in general, and I ain't talking about these boule leaders, quote unquote leaders. I won't even call them leaders. I mean the boule buffer class. But black folks are not falling for that. Because one thing with the whole, the immigrants and they're being put in the detention centers and all that. And, you know, you had Ocasio, what's her name? She was doing that photo op a couple of weeks ago. She was standing outside of a fence crying, taking pictures of her crying and all. Just hella dramatic. Dramatic as hell. Trying to make this thing more severe than what it is. Let's be very clear. See, black folks, we're going through a traumatic soft genocide right now that they're going out of their way to minimize and ignore. We're not going to let them prioritize anything else over that. The stuff that's going on with the immigrants at the border, let's be very clear, black family, those people aren't seeking any kind of asylum because of a disaster in their homeland, okay? These people are not risking their lives, quote unquote, to get up here and then get in camps and get their families broken up because of some kind of tyrannical leader somewhere. They're not coming here because of some war-torn nation. They're coming. That's not what the case is. They're not coming here because of a natural disaster that messed up their homeland. They're just coming here to get the damn bag. That's all it is. They're coming here to get some economic benefits. They just got out of bed and say, hey, I don't like where I am, so let me go over there where they are and let me get the bag. And all of a sudden, we're supposed to drop everything and prioritize that. And no, let's just be very clear. And they're making all of these comparisons. Oh, man, this is like slavery. These people being put in detentions is like slavery. Oh, my God, it's like the civil rights movement all over again. No, you disrespectful bastards. No, it ain't. These people are choosing to come here because they want the bag. Let's stop with the dumb stuff. They love diluting what goes on with us and throwing Dr. King's name in there and all this stuff. See, people have a history of diluting the spirit of our icons. Dr. King wanted reparations for foundational Black Americans, and that's the damn message that we're going to bring to the forefront and prioritize. They like prioritizing all of these other messages that Dr. King just flippantly threw out. You understand? So we're going to have to, as foundational Black Americans, we are going to have to stay on our square and prioritize the things that's important for us because it is our time. It's just that simple. And I've been talking about this Harriet Tubman movie for a couple of days, and I just want to bring some more clarity to it. Now, for those who don't know, there's a Harriet Tubman movie coming out with a Nigerian-British actress named Cynthia Erivo. And a lot of people feel a certain way about it. Number one, people feel a certain way because Cynthia has had a history of making little slick comments about foundational Black Americans. That's one thing. She doesn't show real respect for foundational Black Americans. She's buddy-buddy and bestie with that peanut-head lovey chick that anti-Black American immigrant who calls us all types of akatas. And, you know, they make their little slick comments. And there was other tweets that people found. There was somebody who had a whole thread of this Cynthia woman. And was she, oh, some of her tweets were even worse than I thought. But what was interesting, there was a lot of stuff that she was talking about. Certain roles should be for Afro-Caribbean only. I mean, they're very funny style when it comes to excluding other Black people. See, other Black ethnic groups and other ethnic groups, period, it's okay when they're exclusionary. Exclusion becomes a problem when Black Americans practice it. See, they want to play this game where if we start doing the same thing they do, then all of a sudden, well, we're being xenophobic. See, they want to try to shame us for not looking out for our group. See, we're supposed to be the trash bin for everybody else, and that's going to stop. That is going to stop, ladies and gentlemen. Because some of the stuff Cynthia Erivo has said, it's disrespectful to have her try to play Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman would have shot her with all her mammyism and bedwinching. But we've been complaining about the movie, and for some of y'all have seen the trailer, and you had some of the shills, the Hollywood shills. They got their Negroes online who co-sign everything they do. The trailer for the movie was kind of flat. A few things that we didn't like, aside from just this woman who's not a foundational Black American playing a Black American icon. This woman just doesn't have the spirit of the icon, and that's very important. it's very important for somebody to come from a lineage of an iconic hero that they're supposed to portray in order for it to resonate in a serious way. The thing is, this movie is one of these movies that they're making for white people. It's just like Selma. And I talked about this the other day. The movie Selma, they did the same thing. They had a bunch of leads who were basically foreign black people. And these foreign black people, many of them just didn't capture the spirit of our icons. Like the gentleman who played Dr. King in Selma, the brothers, he's a British Nigerian brother. He's a good actor, but he didn't capture the spirit of Dr. King. So that movie did not resonate with black people. Black people didn't really rock with Selma like that. That was a movie that white people liked. You dig? Selma was a trash movie when you look at it. That movie, we didn't connect to it. We didn't feel the spirit in it. You dig? And this is why I pointed out when Denzel Washington played Malcolm X, we felt that. When Tina Turner, when Angela Bassett played Tina Turner, we felt that. When Jamie Foxx played Ray Fox, Ray Charles, I'm all over with the names tonight. But when Jamie Foxx played Ray Charles, we felt that. You dig? So when we play our icons, there's a certain spirit that we have that we can translate because we live their experience. I want y'all to understand that. And this is why Martin Scorsese, when he does those gangster films about some of the Italian-American mobsters, he don't go to Italy and go get no Italian actors from Italy. He don't go to Britain and get British Italian actors. He get Italian-Americans because they can translate the spirit of another Italian-American because they've lived that. They've known about that all their lives. So they can translate that spirit. And it works. So the thing is, in these movies, they don't want to have that warrior spirit. They don't want to have that icon spirit be transmitted. See, what they want to do, they want to tell an interesting story. And I bet this Harriet Tubman movie, I can smell a white savior somewhere in it, by the way. With this Harriet Tubman movie, I don't know what it's about. I don't know how they're gonna tell the story. But I don't know about you, but I'm smelling a white savior somewhere in this movie. I can smell it. Can't y'all smell it a little bit? I can already smell it. They're gonna slip some white savior somewhere in this movie. I can smell it. Just like they did with 12 Years a Slave. They slipped in a white savior in 12 Years a Slave, the Brad Pitt character. They slipped that in real smooth. I can smell I smell the mayonnaise already. I already smell it. And that's by design. They don't want to get that spirit that's going to resonate with us. They just want to tell an interesting story to white people. And basically, I can already tell what they're going to do. They're going to make it seem like whites and blacks work together for freedom so all white people ain't bad. Because remember, with Harriet Tubman, it was a lot of the white abolitionists that were helping her. That's why they promote her so much. But there were so many other black abolitionists. And Harriet Tubman, she was a rider. But there was the white church helping her. So they're going to play that up. I already know. So that's going to be the message that they want to send to white folks. Look, all of us aren't bad. Now, slavery was bad, but all of us, and they're going to make all the slave owners these caricatures, these frothing at the mouth racists. So, oh, look, they're the real racists right there. Extra abusive, and then they're going to show the benevolent white person. Oh, I can smell it. We can already taste it. You dig? So now when white people watch the movie, they can say, oh, it was those guys. I can identify with the abolitionists. I'm telling y'all now, that's how it's going to be. I haven't even seen the script, but I'm telling y'all that's what they're going to play up. You understand? They do that with certain movies. They did that with Blindside, because remember, the movie The Blindside was a story about Michael Orr, but they made it about the white woman, Sandra Bullock's character. They made him basically an extra in a movie about his life. The movie was supposed to be about Michael Orr. It was based on his book, but the movie was about how good the white woman was. So we can smell the biscuits and mayonnaise already. But the thing is, it's very important to capture the spirit. And this woman, again, she's not a foundational Black American. And plus, there are so many other Black actresses that they could have used. There's so many more Black actresses that they could have used who would have been just as thorough that we would have related to. You understand? Because when you have people who grow up in a certain culture, like the actor Leon, I brought that up the other day. Now, Leon, some people said that his family was Jamaican or something, but Leon was born in 62 in New York. So he grew up before that big immigration wave when Black folks were forced. You had to live around other Black people. So Leon grew up in that Motown era. People like him and a lot of us, we grow up, you know, you listening to Motown and certain music and Tina Turner and the Temptations, you listening to all this stuff in your mother's womb. Your mama was listening to this when she was carrying you. So you've heard these vibrations. So that's in you. It's literally in you. So this is why Leon, when he plays these movies, they always put him in those movies. He plays an excellent singer from that era. He was excellent at David Ruffin. He was excellent as Little Richard. He was excellent in The Five Heartbeats. You ding? And other people, they understand that. Martin Scorsese, if he tried to put an Irish actor as an Italian, the white Italian community would be up in arms about that. They don't play like that. They're like, hey, wait a minute. Other groups don't play like that. Let me tell you, they don't want you miscasting fictional characters, let alone real historic icons. They mad because they put a Black person as a damn mermaid. Mermaids ain't really real. But they're mad because of a Black girl being a mermaid, a fictional damn mythological character. And they like, wait a minute, this ain't true. Yeah, Ray Liotta did not play an Italian. Be very clear. Ray Liotta in Goodfellas, he didn't play an Italian. Because that character, Henry Hill, is not Italian. Well, let's be very clear. Henry Hill was Irish, thank you. Exactly. They know how to cast their stuff. Henry Hill was Irish, he was not Italian. You dig? Yep, and Ray Liotta, ain't he Irish or Scott? Yeah, he's Irish. Yeah, because that was what the movie was about. That's why Henry Hill was snitching, because he wasn't a made dude. So he had no problem snitching. You know? But he wasn't no made guy. Because I think with the Italians, you got to be full Italian in order to be made. That's why they don't play that dual citizenship shit when it comes to these other groups. See, that's why with the Italians, in order to be made, they got to trace your family back to Italy. They got to trace your family back to Italy. And that's another thing we need to understand. See, we're told that we got to accept every damn group just because they got a little pinch of melanin in them. See, we got to get off that. We got to get off that because everybody with melanin ain't on the team. We're under the same circumstances of oppression, but we don't look at fighting that oppression the same way. So we got to understand that. But certain actors, man, you got to have the spirit of the person you're playing. like, if there were movies being made in Nigeria, they're not going to get black actors from here to play a Nigerian. They're not going to do that for their movies that they produce, or any other part of Africa for that matter. They're not going to get somebody over here playing one of their icons. They want to keep it true to form. And in this movie, when you look at the trailer for the Harriet Tubman movie, one thing I noticed, first of all, it's little subtle stuff. First of all, these wigs that they have, these crazy looking wigs that look like some white people got from Central Casting. So they didn't put too much thought in the wigs. The wigs look like shag rugs that they done put up. And the woman, Cynthia Erivo, throughout the trailer, I don't know if y'all caught it, but throughout the trailer, and she's bucking her eyes a little bit too much for me. Throughout the trailer, she's kind of bucking them eyes and looking scared. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's what I'm not feeling. Even in this picture that I got up now, her eyes are bucking just a little taste. Yeah, she's bucking her eyes a little bit too much in the trailer for me. See, that's the thing. When a lot of these black actors come over from other places, they get to bucking their eyes in these movies. Ray! Ray! Just like John Boyega, whatever his name is. And John, shout out to John. I ain't trying to dump on John, but John be bucking them eyes a little bit too much. You dig? So she, Harriet Tubman, I know Harriet wasn't bucking them eyes. Harriet had a warrior spirit in her. That's what I'm looking for. That's why I wasn't resonating with this trailer. Somebody said in this scene she could have been scared. And damn near all the scenes, she's hiding behind trees and looking scared. You know, she's looking scared in all the scenes. And if you look at pictures of Harriet Tubman, Harriet Tubman looked like she'd slap your ass. Harriet Tubman was looking scared. You know, I would say she was looking determined, but I don't know. The eyes are bucking just a little bit too much for me. Harriet was a ride or die. I grew up with black American women all my life. You know what I'm saying? You have. If you're a foundational black American, you've grown up with black women. And I've had some old school black women raise me. My grandmother was born in 1910. She died in the early 2000s, but I had a grandmother born in 1910. My grandma was old school, so I ain't never seen my grandma walking around bucking her eyes looking scared like that for nothing. I just never saw that. I can't relate to that. Them sisters were determined, but they didn't have that scared bucking of the eyes look running around. And I don't think, yeah, they were fearless. Sisters like that, to make bold moves like Harriet did, I don't see Harriet walking around bucking her goddamn eyes like that. You know what I'm saying? Little stuff like that, man. See, I don't get the spirit of what this woman is doing. The spirit ain't there. The spirit ain't there. Harriet was fearless. You understand me? And you have to grow up with that energy to get it. Do you feel what I'm saying, guys? You have to grow up with that kind of black woman energy around you to kind of feel how a sister would act during that time. And I never saw sisters who had a fearful look like that. But again, this movie is for white people. And this is why it's important for us to play our icon so it's not diluted. Denzel Washington, when he played Malcolm, he played that to a T. And that's why they didn't give him an award for that. That was too real. It resonated too much with us, and it scared white people because Malcolm scared white people. Let's be clear. The people in the dominant society, they'll give you fake praise and props 40 years and 50 years after you die. But remember, when Malcolm was alive, white people were terrified of Malcolm X. That's why they had him killed. They were terrified of Malcolm X, and Denzel channeling that spirit, that was scary. They didn't want to reward that. And even when they were doing the movie, there were some parts where Spike let, you know, he let Denzel ad-lib, and Denzel was going in, and Spike was like, man, where'd you get that from? And Denzel was like, I don't know. Something just came over me. I don't know. See, that's something that you cannot get from an acting school. That's something that you can't get from an acting school. That's something that you have to come from that lineage. You have to live that. What Angela Bassett did with Tina Turner, you can't get that from no damn acting school. That's somebody who grew up with a respect for Tina Turner. When you grow up with that, you're already familiar. It's already in you. You grow up listening to that. You grow up seeing that. There has, when in Black society, foundation of Black American society, we've always seen Tina Turner. We can't remember a time when there wasn't a Tina Turner. So that's something that we already feel. That's already in us. That's in our DNA. And this is why, again, when some of these foreign actors try to play our icons, it doesn't resonate. Because, see, when you have certain people, let's say from African countries, and no disrespect to any African countries, but the thing is, we look at white supremacy different. We have a different vibe towards white supremacy because we deal with white supremacy directly. A lot of people in African countries, you deal with white supremacy indirectly, to the point where many of you don't know that the white supremacists are orchestrating the events in your life because they're doing it from afar, but they're still orchestrating everything that's happening in your life. So a brother who's an actor who came from a part of Africa, he's not going to look at white supremacy as being a problem. See, over here, a Black actor growing up, or Black actress growing up, you've dealt with white supremacy. You've been around the system of white supremacy directly, and you've dealt with white supremacists directly, and you know how that feels. You know the reaction you have to it. You know the non-verbal anger that you have to contain that comes out in other ways. So when you play a historic character like Harriet Tubman, you can see it in your face. You can see it in your vibe. You can see it in your actions. It's already in your eyes. That's something that you're not going to get that from an acting school. That's something that you have to have in you, that you bring out, and then you transmit through the character. A person living in somewhere in an African country, usually they don't deal directly with the white supremacists. As a matter of fact, when they say what the problem is and they see poverty or they see any kind of hardship in their life, well, the problem is this other Negro tribe across the river. That's my problem, not no white supremacy. And as a matter of fact, whenever the white supremacists do show up in his country, it's a white supremacist who has some kind of tangible for him. It's usually a missionary or possibly a tourist or somebody from a church, somebody, a colonizer, basically. So they're bringing something. So they look at, on a subconscious level, as white people as being saviors. Do y'all feel what I'm saying? And I'm telling you what I know. I've had brothers and sisters from Africa tell me, man, before I saw Hidden Colors, man, I used to think that white people were gods until I saw that. I've had a dude tell me that before. So when they see a white person is a savior. Because it's so rare for them to see them. But when they do see them, they got food, they got clothes, they're donating shoes. They're building a water well. They're building a bridge. So like, damn, white people are saviors. So this is why over there you'll see a big ass statue of a white Jesus. You understand? So they have a different relationship to white supremacy. So even look at this picture of Cynthia Erivo. Just look at her eyes, and in this picture, it looked like she's looking for a zaddy. You understand? It don't look like she's trying to whoop white supremacy's ass. She's trying to find a zaddy. That's the look in her eye. Zaddy love me. It's a whole different relationship. It's a whole different vibe that we get. It's a whole different vibe that we have in our DNA. You dig? So this is why we can't let people come in and dilute the spirit of our icons. And we've been getting a lot of people coming in, and we've been talking about this for a few weeks. So many people coming in trying to undermine us. You know, they come over here and they almost want to be de facto colonizers. They almost want to be chocolate colonizers to a certain degree, because they want us to help them. They want us to be the liaison for them to come get benefits. But once they come over, they immediately associate with the oppressor class against us. And a lot of what I see now, even though some of these people be still throwing that Akata jazz out there, they'll throw Akata out there, but now that we are circling our wagons, because remember, all of these immigrants and anchor babies, they used to make a point to tell people how they are not one of us, because they were trying to be chocolate colonizers. What the Portuguese did when they went to Africa, the reason why they colonized it so fast, they went over there and started having babies with the locals. And once they had children with the locals, they could start laying claim to the heritage there. And then they basically colonized it and ruined it. And that's what these people are trying to do now. You'll see a lot of these folks with these dual flags. They'll brag about, well, my mama's ADOS and my daddy's an immigrant from Jamaica. My daddy's an immigrant from Haiti. My daddy's an immigrant from Ghana. My daddy, they'll play that game, but they will still have dual allegiances. And that's a problem. And see, we have to look at it like the mafia. Yeah, some of y'all are riders. We'll recognize the riders. We'll recognize the people who come over. You might have one immigrant parent here, one foundational Black American parent here, but we don't know about making you a made man. See, we got to rock with it like that. We got to do it like the mafia does. You're not going to be made. You're not going to be a made man, because when you have those dual allegiances, you can flip. And that's the problem. There's some people I was going back and forth with today. One thing you notice, I was going back and forth with these MAGA Negroes. You know, there are these Negroes who are trying to clout chase, running around with Make America Great Again hats. You'll see them online. And usually, almost 99% of the time, these Negroes are immigrants, damn near all of them. Whenever y'all see Negroes running around with MAGA hats on, talking about Trump ain't no racist, these Negroes are 99% immigrants. And there was one dude, there's a video that the white supremacists are circulating around. This one guy, I don't want to say his name because he's kind of clout chasing. So he's running around with this thug persona. He's a gangster conservative. He's like, yo, Trump ain't no racist. It's them fucking Democrats racist. He's on the yo, a little extra with the yo. Yeah, man, we don't need to be talking about no reparations. Yeah, man, fuck all that. Man, the Democrats are the party of racism. He's using all those white supremacist talking points. So I did some research on him. This fool is Haitian and Cuban. Him and his homegirls. He's another bed wench who's Jamaican and American, and she's been arguing, talking about, I'm an ADOS. I'm Jamaican and ADOS, but she's up at the Trump rallies with the MAGA hats on, bed wenching. See, this is why we gotta have made folks. See, you can't get made. yeah, you can be in the mafia, but you can't be made. You dig? Yeah, when this dude, and I hit him up, and he was on some, man, we need to debate. Now, he's one of them, and he's basically clout chasing. But I said, bro, look, I know you're trying to get you a dollar or two out these racist, white supremacist, MAGA folks. Hey, more power to you. But then when you start talking about what black Americans shouldn't be getting and you ain't even entitled to our reparations, now you're crossing the line. See, this is why we have to check these people. Because they go around and a lot of these MAGA Sambos, one thing I noticed about them, they go around yelling about being from the hood. Yeah, I'm from the hood. I'm from the hood, and I'm a conservative from the hood. And right there lets you know that these Negroes are not from here. When you got these Negroes running around political circles talking about how they from the hood, 100 times out of 10, these Negroes are from somewhere else. Black folks over here don't run around with that shit, talking about I'm from the hood and you're in political circles. These dudes are showing out, playing a caricature for white people. You dig? So when it comes to folks talking about the political agenda for black Americans, we need made foundational black Americans for that. Let's just keep it 100, because we got too many people with dual allegiances running around here talking about, yeah, my grandma was a slave, but my daddy was an immigrant. And I say, because my grandma was a slave, we don't need no reparations, because that nigga's, he's an anchor baby. Oh, that bed wench is, he's an anchor. She's an anchor baby. So they already got their benefits. They got their benefits from coming here. They couldn't get it popping in their own country, so they got their benefits by coming here. That's their reparations, so they're good. So they want to keep the benefits coming to them. You dig? So the thing is, we got to have made foundational black Americans. And people misrepresenting us? Nah, we got to check that. We got to stop people from misrepresenting us and letting every damn body be our spokespersons. No, everybody ain't allowed to speak for us. See, this is what I like about us now. See, we're getting on code heavy, and we're exposing all of the garbage and nonsense, which is a great thing. Because, see, a lot of these people, they come and there's an abusive relationship they have with black society. See, that's the thing we got to start rejecting, family. People, they feel like they can come around us and just scatter abuse around. Talk crazy. Talk at us. Misrepresent us. See, we're going to stop having this abusive relationship with everybody. See, we're going to shut that down. And I want us to get into the habit of just rejecting abuse from any form, any fashion, from anybody, even from other people who look like us. We're going to have to just reject any type of even subtle abuse, because the way we deal with each other, it's either aggressively abusive or subtly abusive. We deal with each other in a lackluster way that we wouldn't deal with the dominant white society in. See, we got to start checking that with each other. We got to start valuing each other. And if we're around people who don't want to value us, we're just not going to rock with them. We got to have that kind of mentality. You know, when I go to New York, you know, I like to try different restaurants. And I remember going to, and I've talked about this before, I went to Sylvia's Soul Food in New York years ago. The famous Sylvia Soul Food. A lot of folks like to go to Sylvia Soul Food. And the food was good. I actually liked the food. The food was good. At Sylvia Soul Food in Harlem. I liked the food. But I would never go to Sylvia Soul Food again. I will never go there again. Why won't I go there? I will not go to Sylvia Soul Food again because the customer service towards other black people was horrible. It was horrible. I didn't like the service. I didn't like it whatsoever. And let me tell you why I really didn't like it. What really hit is because we were there, we were waiting forever to be seated. It was packed, and I get that. Some places are popping, so it's packed. I get it. And I've been to places with shitty service before. I get it. I've been to several places with shitty service. As a matter of fact, I was at a Jamaican restaurant earlier today. I picked up some food. Let me tell you something about Jamaican restaurants. It seems like the shittier the service, the better the food. That's like a prerequisite over here. To get good Jamaican food, you got to have a shitty server. That seems like it makes the food better for some reason over here. Lord, but I didn't get that shitty service in Jamaica, but over here, the Jamaican restaurants, all of them, the service is bad. You dig? But over at Sylvia's, what I didn't like, not only was the service was hella crappy. They took forever to seat us. We were there waiting around forever. The people were just very nonchalant, non-attentive to us, me and my black family. And I'm like, okay, all right. But when a group of white people came into Sylvia's, it became a damn plantation jubilee. These Negroes up at Sylvia's were so damn attentive to them white people. Oh, sir, ma'am, we can seat you over here. Sir, ma'am, it became sir, ma'am. Can I get you water? They're pulling out the chair. I mean, when the white people showed up, these niggas came alive. I'm like, oh my God. I couldn't respect that. That made me never want to go to Sylvia Soul Food again. And I hate to disparage a black business. I hate to have to say that publicly. That I lost so much respect for them there. They were rolling out. Boy, I thought they were going to pull out a banjo and start singing for the white people. The white people showed up and those niggas it became a tap dance competition. Boy, the bucking of the eyes and the teeth and the skinning and grinning when the white folks came, boy, it was jubilee time. Damn, we didn't get all that? I don't respect that. See, that's abuse. I'm not going to go pay you to abuse me. That's abuse. I don't pay for abuse. Damn that. And let's get off the habit of letting people abuse us. I'm cool on that. I'm not going to let people abuse, even other black folks. We got to stop this thing where we abuse each other. And then want to be half-assed with each other. See, we have to value ourselves, family. We got to get into the habit of valuing ourselves. See, the thing is, when it comes to us, we think, okay, we can just be any old kind of way. We don't have to treat you a certain way. That's why a lot of movies about black history has never resonated, and that's why Hidden Colors, and I'm not giving myself a shameless plug here, but this is why Hidden Colors has resonated so much. The Hidden Colors series, because the thing is, I value the audience. Hidden Colors is made primarily for a black audience. And when something usually is made for a black audience, people go out of their way to just cut corners. They go out of their way to just give the bare minimum. They go out of their way to just throw something together and say, hey, it's black. So, hey, let's get it. Let everybody support it because it's black. Let's do the right thing and support it. It's black, so support it. It's black. And you're going to pocket your money and just throw some bullshit together and just tell everybody to support it just because. That's why nothing before Hidden Colors, as far as our history like that, nothing has resonated. So when I do my movies, I make sure every detail is comparative to what's in Hollywood now. That's why when y'all see my movies, that's why people be thinking that I'm secretly funded by some white people. That's that coon mentality. You got a lot of black folks out here who thinks that I'm secretly funded by some people because the movies are so damn good and high quality. No, black folks deserve good quality entertainment and education. It's just that simple. black people deserve the damn best. And that's what I'm going to give you. When people, that's one thing, when people see my movie, forget about the content, when they see just the cinematic professionalism of it, they're like, damn. You dig? This is us, and you can see it's us, grassroots all day. Because when you do get something from the dominant society, they ain't gonna let you tell the truth. If you do see something that's big budgeted, usually it's from somebody in the dominant society, and they're going to have their own agenda to it. As you see in this picture right here, there's a reason why they got Harriet Tubman bucking her eyes. That's why I'm scared to see what they're going to have in this damn movie. They put a big budget behind this Harriet Tubman movie, and already the character's bucking her damn eyes. So it's like, uh-oh. You dig? But when you see our film, especially like 1804, the quality and the detail, you understand? We deserve that. And we got to start treating each other in a non-abusive manner. See, we got to get this thing. We've been, the white supremacists, they've abused us for so long. We think that we're supposed to be abused, and no. We got to stand up to that at all costs. Even though they'll try to be unjust, and they're being openly unjust at this point. Now, in New York, by the way, speaking of New York, you know, they let the Pantaleo guy, they're not going to charge him. This man is killed Eric Garner on tape. You got race soldiers killing people left and right. These race soldiers out there in New York, they let white supremacist groups like the Proud Boys run amok and have rallies and beat up people and give them slaps on the wrist. And there were some people out in Harlem, I think, they threw some water on the police and they made a whole big deal about that. And they arrested the dudes who threw water at the police and all this stuff. And they're acting like, oh my God, the police are under attack. Respect the police, respect the police. And give me a break. Give me a break. Because see, white society started getting all up in arms when they see that black people are starting to lose the fear of these race soldiers. See, that's the thing that's really scaring them. They were turning up in New York. They were throwing stuff and throwing water and throwing buckets at the cops. So that scares white society. See, white society started putting pressure on them. White supremacist society, because the name of the game is to scare black people in submission. And they're doing all this killing and all this racial ambushing. And the problem is, the opposite effect is starting to happen. Black people are actually getting less scared. Because now our backs are against the wall. Black people are getting into the fuck it stage. Black people are like, hey, well, yeah, if y'all gonna go in on us like this, well, damn, it's on then. Let it be on. So that scared a lot of white people, seeing all these black people not afraid. That's why they're making a big deal out of it. See, they want us scared, bucking our eyes, trembling. You understand? That's how they want us. And we're doing less of that. See, that's why they got to get immigrant coons to do all that, because we ain't doing that. We're like, okay, look, it is what it is then. Our energy is changing a little bit, and they don't like it. So this is why they're really, really, really trying to get these immigrant groups over here on us. Not just black ones, even the other ones. Black, Hispanic, some Asian, just like that Asian lady I was talking about. What's her name again, guys? That Asian chick who was making those very disparaging remarks about black folks, talking about black on black crime and all this old stuff. And she's made a whole bunch of, Kathy Zhu, that's her name. And I saw some other tweets she made. This is some Chinese American chick who was Miss Michigan, but she's this Trump supporter. She's clicked in with that old alt-right crowd, and she goes on social media. They found some of her old social media of her talking greasy about black folks, talking about IQ this and black violence this. And I told y'all, y'all got to check these immigrant groups who come over here talking about some damn black on black crime. And today, over there in China, they had something they were calling the Chinese Purge. It was groups of people in the streets beating the hell out of each other in China today. They were beating the brakes off of each other in China today. See, we got to check these groups and let them know y'all not going to sit up here and play this game and try to pull rank on us talking about some damn black on black crime. You're not going to play that game. We got somebody in the chat room, somebody named Joanne Young. Wait, Joanne Young said, Tariq is jealous. Joanne, wait, don't block Joanne. Joanne Young, who am I jealous of? Because that's another thing we hear from certain immigrant groups. They come over talking about black folks are jealous. Like this woman in this Harriet movie. She was retweeting this other dude over there in Africa talking about black Americans are jealous of African immigrants. And I'm like, what the hell are we jealous of? And I really wouldn't like to, and she's probably a troll, but what are we jealous of? I keep hearing that theme from some of these immigrants, these immigrant coons. What are we jealous of? This is kind of a theme from a lot of African immigrants from all over the continent who come here. I ain't talking about the ones over in Britain. They're different, the ones in Britain. But the ones who come over here, they got this thing that we're supposed to be jealous of something. I really would like to know what we're supposed to be jealous of. And I've heard these Nigerian women just majorly disparage black American women. They're stepping their game up. And okay, I don't know what you're talking about, Joanne. But they sit up and talk about black American women. Yes, these Akata girls. These Akata girls don't have what we have. Yeah, these Akatas. These Akatas don't have what we have. What you mean? What? Ebola? What you talking about? What we don't have, what you have? What are you talking about? You're not being clear about what you have that we don't have, or we Akatas don't have. I don't get what you're talking about. You're losing me. I would like for you to articulate what we're supposed to be jealous of and what you have that we don't have. What, cake, soap, bad weave? I don't know. You dig? But yeah, she's probably a troll. Don't worry about it. But all of these little groups trying to pull rank because of their proximity to the white supremacists, because they know once the white supremacists base everything on anti-black racism, so they know they have to snuggle up with the white supremacists, and if they want to get some brownie points, they gotta show the same anti-black racism and the anti-black foundational black American racism in particular. And we're not going to let them get down like that. We're going to have to remind people of where they came from and remind them of who we are. See, our homeland is here. This is our ancestral homeland. And everybody's scrambling to get to our homeland. Our blood is all in this soil. We are the foundation of this country. Always remind people, we had a settlement here before the English. Remember, the I'm talking about on paper. I don't even have to get into the Olmecs and all these people, but when the Spanish brought over African people, black people were here in the 1520s. They ran the Spanish out, and black people absorbed into the Native American population here. This is on paper. So we are the people who formed the first settlement here before the English, before the Mayflower. Always let them know that. Always remind them of that. They don't like to tell you that part of history, and I've broken that down. But they don't like to talk about that part of history. And another thing, you know, Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao, they were going back and forth in social media. I don't know, it looked like they're trying to set up another fight for I don't know, in a couple of years or whatever. It sounds like they're trying to hype up another rematch because Manny was in another fight, and I didn't watch it. But Manny Pacquiao, the Filipino fighter, he was in a boxing match, and I think did he win? Manny Pacquiao, he won the fight, right? So Manny Pacquiao, they were kind of going back and forth, and it could be orchestrated. It could be them already setting the stage for a fight they already planned. So D Tubman, go ahead and block Joanne. Joanne is trolling. You can go ahead and block Joanne. So he knocked the kid out. So yeah, looks like they might be going for another $1 billion bout. You know, they might try to get Floyd out of retirement and he get that real fast bag. But I noticed when they were going back and forth on social media, a lot of the little Filipinos were trying to get their little digs in, using their little racial words, using their little anti-black words like Sunog and Nognog. See, all of these other little groups, they got their little racist code words. Not even code words. They got their little racial terms for black Americans. You dig? And that's another group who don't need to fix their mouths to say anything disparaging about black people. So you got to know history. See, when you learn how to break down history, yeah, Nog Nog and Sunog, yeah, these are little words that they have over there in the Philippines for black Americans. Yeah, and any Filipinos listening, you better get your mind right. So you know how to shut these folks down with their history. Yeah, Caucasians can. Yeah, they killed a gang. Let me tell you something. During the Spanish-American War, and I brought this up many times, the Filipinos were getting slaughtered. They were having a genocide over there. The white supremacists were wiping them out. The American army got rid of Spain, got Spain out of there. Then they decided to be the colonizers over there in the Philippines, and they were wiping them out by the hundreds of thousands. Do y'all understand? And what yielded a lot of that off was a black soldier from the U.S. Army, David Fagan, and I've talked about him before. This was the real Rambo. This guy defected from the U.S. Army. He couldn't stand to see a genocide go on. He couldn't stand to see Filipinos wiped out like that. So he defected from the U.S. Army and joined the guerrilla army out there in the Philippines and showed them tactics to use to fight off the American imperialists from committing genocide over there. You understand? He was fighting them off. He was giving them the game to fight them off, the Buffalo Soldier. That man has been a hero over there. He was a hero over there for a long time in their culture. David Fagan, he's a black dude. He was from Tampa, Florida. He's a Buffalo Soldier. That man was over there whooping ass. And let me tell y'all something. The Philippines could have gotten their independence because he was helping them fight for their independence. That shows our character. That would be a great movie, by the way. That would be a great movie. But David Fagan was fighting for the independence of the Philippines. And what happened? They had the U.S. Army at bay for a while. But then some Filipino coons got tired and scared of fighting. And then they start working with the government, the U.S. government, the U.S. Army, to capture one of their Filipino leaders. And once they caught, I think it was the Filipino president at the time, they helped finesse the game and help some U.S. soldiers capture their president, and then basically lost the war. And that place, the Philippines, became a satellite for the U.S. And it still is. It's still a colony for the U.S. Let's be very clear. The Philippines is basically a U.S. colony because they have so many financial interests over there. You understand? So it was Filipino coons that messed the game up. The brother was giving you the game, and then y'all messed the game up for your damn selves. And let me tell you something. They caught the Filipino president, but they damn sure didn't catch David Fagan. They never caught him, by the way. That shows how gangster this brother was. They never caught him. That brother died of old age over there. They wanted him bad because he defected. He was public enemy number one. The U.S. Army really, really, really wanted to get that brother. They did not catch that dude. They said they would give somebody, they would give the Filipino people $600 if they caught him dead or alive, if you beheaded him. So they went and found some head of somebody else and said it was him, and it wasn't even him. That dude died of old age. He was up in the mountains in the hills of the Philippines. He had a whole harem of wives. He's fucking the shit out of them Filipino women. Had a whole gang of kids. That brother lived his best life up there. They never caught him. You dig? And that's an incredible story that they never like to talk about. That's an incredible story they never like to talk about. So I don't let people fix their mouths to say something slick about us after all we've done for them in their country. We've gone to their country and tried to get the imperialists and the white supremacists off their asses. And then they undermine themselves. We've had to save people from them damn selves for naught. So I don't let people come over and talk greasy to us. That's why I whoop that ass with history and their own history. So I don't really have to get into all that name calling. What you do with them, you get them with their history. And then that goes back to the movies. This is why movies are very important. It's very important to have the right spirit in movies to tell a story. And that's why they don't like to have foundational Black Americans in movies telling our story, because our history and our story, it, the spirit of it, it bothers the dominant white society. I was talking about this the other day. I remember, some of y'all remember when Roots first came out in the late 70s. When Roots came out, they had a bunch of foundational Black Americans playing those characters. They were on real plantations, and that series resonated with Black people heavy. So I remember going to school the next day, and man, we were ready to beat the shit out of any of those kids who talked greasy or made any racial comments. Roots made us ready. So they said, wait, we can't show nothing like this again on TV. That's why they don't show the original Roots that much. Because that had a certain energy that hit us back then. Again, when we have a history that makes the dominant white society uncomfortable, we need to get a British actor to come and kind of funnel it and dilute it a little bit. Yeah, we were fine. I remember, if some of y'all old enough to remember, I remember, man, we went to school. We were about to crack motherfuckers in the head with our lunch boxes. We were ready. And that acting cast was on point. John Amos, LeVar Burton. They had some heavy. They had all the top Black actors in that. That conjured up that warrior spirit. You dig? That's why they took that movie, The Spook Who Sat Behind the Door. That movie, when that movie was made, the FBI went around the movie theaters and they had that thing taken out of theaters. It was in theaters for like a couple of weeks and they like, oh, hell no. Y'all talking about this? Oh, no. We thought this was just going to be one of those super fly pimp drive around in a car and have sex with white women. Oh, we thought it was going to be that kind of movie. When they saw what it was about, they said, oh, hell no. Sam Greenlee was spitting some real talk in there. They underestimated that. They went and took that movie out of the theaters. Yeah. And when you have certain people bringing a certain energy to movies and pairing that with a good storyline and a good story, that's powerful. People can relate to it. That's why, again, so many people in Black society globally can relate to the Hidden Colors series. That's why so many people, it resonates. That's why this movie is sold out every damn where. That's why it's sold out over in Europe. People coming all over from Europe to come watch it next weekend. People are coming from Italy, Germany, the Netherlands. They're all flying into the UK to watch it. That's heavy. And let me tell you something, and I've talked about this before. I've been in theaters where white people have seen Hidden Colors, and I've always said this, Hidden Colors bothers white people. Hidden Colors bothers them. I've been in theater, I've talked about this before. I did a lecture and a screening one time at a movie theater, and when the movie theater was over, the black people were applauding, and there were a couple of white people in there. I don't know where they came from, but they were sitting there looking, they were frozen. You know, I kind of look around to see people's reaction. These white people were sitting there frozen, looking terrified. They were frozen in fear. I'm telling you, I've done screening with white people sitting there scared after the movie. Because the spirit is real. That spirit hit. There's a real spirit coming from that screen that's making them feel a certain way. Even that's why bed wenches and mammies get all uncomfortable. That's why the root, all those bed wenches, mammies, and bed bucks, they get uncomfortable because they know something like that is going, well, they got to distance themselves from it because they don't want white mommy and white daddy thinking that they are into all that stuff that's in the movie. That's why all those moist bed bucks and those bed wenches over at Rude and Blavity and all of those little Negro publications always have to talk down on the film. They're the main ones talking, oh, that's Hotep shit. All that old Hotep. That's Hotep. That's Hotep right there. They can't really debate anything or debunk anything that's in the film. That's the thing. So they just try to overall disparage it by talking about some damn Hotep. That's them trying to let white mommy and white daddy know, please be comfortable around me. All that Hotep and Hidden Color, I'm not like that, mama. White mommy, white daddy, I ain't like that. I's a good nigga. I still a good nigga. That's what that means. So when you put a real spirit behind something and put it out there, it's going to separate the real from the damn fake. And that's what I like. That's what we need. That separates the real from the fake. That separates the warriors from the bed cook, the bed bucks and the bed wenches and the coons. You dig? That's how you can kind of test people. Give them a copy of one of the Hidden Colors films and see how they react. That's what y'all need to start doing as a test to date somebody. If you want to date somebody, have them watch Hidden Colors and watch how they react. If they start bucking their eyes, that's not the person you want to be with. Oh, Lord, what is this? Oh, hell no. What this is? Because I've had Negroes get scared. You can tell a coon. I as a Christian, I've had people tell me they tried to play Hidden Colors around their family and their family then ran out the room talking about they a Christian. Dang, what the hell that got to do with anything? If in, oh, Lord, I's all about Jesus. You dig? See, that separates the real from the fake. Because you're getting all the spirit, the warrior spirit in that film. We're putting all the warrior spirit in it. And that's a good thing. See, we need to learn how to start separating all these people that ain't about the business. We're going to have to separate these people that's content. You ding? And also, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. If you do not have Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5, you can pre-order 5 right now. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to pre-order Hidden Colors 5 and get your tickets. L.A., Los Angeles, get your tickets. We got a 10 o'clock showing for Hidden Colors. You dig? We got a 10 o'clock showing, so you guys can get that. Somebody in the room, somebody's asking about who's in the film and all that. That's another thing that y'all got to get out your system. You don't like this person, you don't like that person and all that stuff. If that's what your focal point is, don't watch the film. Okay? I don't want you to watch it. If that's going to be your focal point, you don't like that person here, but don't watch it, dude. Go watch The Lion King. Okay? Just do that. I'm not, don't go back and forth, my nigga. Go watch the, go watch Moonlight. Go watch that. Because it's too late in the day for us to be on that dumb shit. We got way too much good information that we're trying to relay. See, this is about being on code. You might not like this person or that person, but when it comes to this information, we're all on code, and that's what I want you to learn. We're on code. This is a lesson of being on code. See, when I hear folks talk about who you don't like in the movie and all that, you know who normally does that? And I hate to be beating up on the immigrants, but some of y'all immigrant Negroes be doing that a lot. A lot of these immigrant Negroes be doing that. Well, I don't like him. How come he in it, though? A lot of y'all niggas, I look at your page and it's a flag from another country. Y'all be doing that. That's that garbage that y'all grew up in your own homeland. That tribal beef that you just gonna carry on and you gonna prioritize a damn tribal beef. Who gives a damn? Man, we talking about a message and a code. See, we learn how to put all that aside to stay on code. That's the thing that's messing so many people up with the whole reparations movement that's happening. So many people who had different ideological differences about so many other things, all of a sudden, a lot of us black people, we're on code about this reparations thing, and that just messed everybody up because they're not used to that. And they keep trying to, hey, why are you talking about reparations, Tyreek, and what's his name had said something kind of implied about you 3 years ago? Who cares? That person is talking about reparations now, and so am I. So I don't give a damn about what they said 3 years. I'll deal with that later. Right now, we're on code about these reparations. You understand? Even if I'm beefing with somebody, if we are on code about something, then I'll rock with you. I'll put some stuff aside to be on code. Like some people ask me about the Warriors. I won't say names, you know who I'm talking about. You still beefing with the Warriors? I don't have anything to say to them because the Warriors ain't really on code about these reparations, really. From what I understand, the Warriors ain't really on code about that. They own some other shit. Got being a descendant of Wakanda and all this. So no, I'm good. So they're not even on code about this. So I have nothing to reconcile with them about. You understand? I'm on code with people who are prioritizing our agenda. Our agenda is these damn reparations. And even if I'm cool with you, I give you an example. There's people that I'm cool with, but if you ain't on code, I'm going to have to put our coolness on hold, just like with Jay Morrison. Jay Morrison, I like Jay Morrison. As a person, me and Jay Morrison are cool as friends. Me and Jay Morrison are cool as colleagues. Me and Jay Morrison are cool as far as just vibe. Good dude, but when he start talking against reparations, I had to call him out publicly and distance myself from anything that he has as far as a message, as far as that. I got to distance myself from that. That I don't rock with. You understand? That's why I made it known. And I like that dude. Me and him, we cool. But my man was talking against or just making some disparaging remarks about reparations, so I can't rock with you, bruh. Can't rock with you. So that's how we gotta be. So y'all bringing all this stuff for who you don't like, that don't matter, man. We got some more important stuff to talk about. As long as you on code, we can like or not like each other. See, that's the thing. I'm not in a like contest. I'm in an agenda contest. How many of us can get on an agenda? I don't have to like you. I don't have to like what you eat. I don't have to like what you drink. I don't have to like what you think. I don't care if you'd have been to jail. I don't care what your sexuality is. Do you support the agenda for reparations, and are you on code with that? If the answer is yes, come on down. We good. Let's get it. And if you're serious, I ain't talking about you like, yeah, I want reparations, but for everybody. No. Reparations for foundational Black Americans. If that is your agenda, then we're good. That means we're on the same page. I do not prioritize no damn beefs. That's how we gotta be. So I don't care about who you don't like in the movie and all that. If you don't like certain people in the movie, take your ass to go see Spider-Man. Go see a damn Madea movie. All right? But go to HiddenColorsFilm.com if you want to be empowered and see the real HiddenColorsFilm.com. Going down next week, guys. You are not going to want to miss it. All right? I'm going to holler at you guys this Sunday. Peace.